This is a Soulfire production.
Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast.
Well, hello, my beautiful souls, and welcome back to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I am so excited to be with you here on another episode of the show. This is a solo episode, me to you, from my heart, kind of coming on here pretty unapologetic today, calling women out. As much as I'm calling out the system, I want to share a story today that I think will open up the possibility of what we can all step into with a higher collective consciousness and what success is really doing for us and what it's doing to us. So I'm going to take you back to the end of last year. I hadn't sold my agency, Simply Be, quite yet. I ran that business for 7 years. I started it from nothing. I ended up building a massive team and a huge book of business and sold it at the beginning of January 2024, so just a few months ago. And in the last few years, I've gone on a deep healing journey to unhook myself from the toxic hustle and spent a lot of time and energy healing my body, coming back into my feminine power, which is the emphasis of this entire podcast, The Spiritual Hustler, teaching women to make money in a new vibration. And I have this saying that when you point one finger at someone else, you're pointing three back at yourself. What you see in another person so clearly, whether that's a positive or negative projection, is what exists inside of you. So when you see somebody shining beautifully, brightly, and you clap for them, that's because you can hold space for your own shining and expansion. If you see someone shining and killing it and it triggers you and you feel like that person is gross and full of themselves, that's a reflection of where you might judge yourself for not shining that brightly. So I'm going to share this story today with absolutely no zero judgment, because there was only compassion in this situation and it stayed with me for months. Obviously, I'm doing a whole podcast about it. And so prior to the sale of the company, I was still the CEO. We were still working deals. And I really got to give a huge shout out to my incredible marketing team at Simply Be for optimizing our website on Google. It took us like 2 years between paid and organic search, and we became the number one top page one website link when you search personal branding globally, Simply Be. So if you do that, you'll see Simply Be as number one. That said, by virtue of that marketing success, we get so much inbound inquiries from so many different leads that want to potentially hire us. And so we'd gotten this particular lead from a very big biotech hedge fund, multi-billion dollar client. Really exciting. And there were two co-founders. One was a man, one was a woman. And I had my associate at the time, Nora, take the first call with the male co-founder. He apparently checked all of the boxes of our client criteria. I've shared on this show, actually in the episode, what I would do differently if I had to build my business all over again. Guys should go definitely listen to that podcast. I'll leave that link in the show notes. But one of the biggest things that I offered and advised my community in that episode was to really get your quote-unquote ICP, your ideal customer profile, right, so that you can really target who you're wanting to serve and who's going to be the most beneficial for your business. We had done that beautifully. And into our pipeline comes this massively ideal client. And so we were extremely excited for the opportunity and to continue the conversation to really get to know the client better and offer them the opportunity to work with us. And so Nora takes the first call with the male co-founder. She comes back to me. She's like, Jessica, this guy is amazing. He wants to meet you. I think it would be really powerful. Like if CEO to CEO, you guys had a call. Amazing. Took this call. He's on a walk on his iPhone the whole time we're talking. He's like out in the sunshine doing his thing. He's like, I take a break in the middle of the day. I like really need to move my body. And we have such a vibe and I really get his mission and I understand his message. And he asks me a ton of questions, of course, of what Simply Be does and who we've done it for in the past. I talk about all of our case studies. He's super into it. He's like, okay, great. I want to continue this conversation. I want to introduce you to my female business partner. And this will be our next step because we make decisions together and I want her to meet you because we were looking at potentially branding the both of them. And so we get a call on the schedule with his female co-founder. And I was so sick that week. I had gotten this horrific infection. Basically took the entire week off. I literally couldn't function. You guys know what that feels like when you're so sick. You literally can't do anything. But I really didn't want to miss this call. It was a very big opportunity for both my associate and me and the whole company. And this woman had a hard time scheduling. She was very busy. And we get on this call. And my point being is because I was so sick, I was camera off. And I really, looking back on this call, felt like that was for such a reason, not only to protect my energy from that call, but because instead of meeting this woman eye to eye, I was really able to be a witness. And we get on the Zoom and this woman is in an office. She does not look like she's taking any breaks, moving her body and walking like her male counterpart. She's got her assistant next to her. She's in a very fancy, big corporate-looking room. She looked exhausted. And she comes on the call so hot. We had sent her a proposal. She didn't really get it. She wanted more information custom to her. And she kept cutting us off. And she made a comment at one point, because I was explaining to her the work that we do for other clients. And she said, I would eat those clients for breakfast. She literally said, I would eat your clients for breakfast. No one's able to touch what we do. No one's able to touch who I am. We need a team that can translate the power and success and magnitude of what's going on at our company. And that is something I'm expecting of you, to be able to connect the dots and tell my story in a way that no one else can tell it. And I said, you know, that's exactly what we do. That's our process. Well, tell me who I am right now. Tell me what you see. And again, I'm the CEO on the call with my counterpart. She's clearly frustrated that I can't make eye contact with her. And I just kept explaining that's the essence of our work. Once we build a partnership with you, we have a proprietary process that we take our clients through to get those answers. And this is really just a discovery call and an exploratory conversation. And how am I to know you're the right fit without you telling me who I am? Isn't this what you do? It was just 30 minutes of that. And she was so disrespectful to me and my counterpart that I was crystal clear this woman's never going to be our client. I didn't care about losing that deal. Because if this is how she talked to me, I couldn't imagine how she would talk to my team. And that is not the vibration of any person, woman, man, energy in any company that I ever run that I would want to work with. And I'm sure you would feel the same if you're listening. But something happened to me on that call. In my witnessing of this woman so deeply in her ego, so deeply in her exhaustion, so deeply stuck in her identity as a powerful woman. And it's not her fault. I really, in that moment, looked at her through the screen and I just sent her so much compassion. I wanted her to get a good night's sleep. I wanted her to go take a couple days off. I wanted her to drink some minerals and nourish her body with some really good food. I wanted her to go on a retreat like mine, where she could sit in sisterhood and see what's possible when women are gentle and loving to themselves as much as they are to each other. I wanted her to buy a PEMF mat so she could calm her nervous system down. And it was so ironic that the male CEO was on a walk in the sunshine next to the trees, living his best life. No cares in the air. Not a lot of necessarily ego, at least that I could tell. It was just very high on his own supply that he was successful. And that was great, but he just wanted to know how I could help him tell that story. And seemed like it was a cool call for him to take on his weekly and daily agenda. And that was that. Talk to my partner. We'll be in touch. And the second call was an attack. Women on women. There were two of us on that call from my team, myself and Nora, and there was another woman on her team that sat there in silence the whole time and witnessed that too. There was an unlock that I had writing my new book, The Light Work. I had to do so much research for this book, I don't even know I'm crying. I was shown through my studies, through my travels to Egypt. I know I talk about that trip so much, but it is the foundation of my book. Just how much we have forgotten about our true power as women. And it is soft. And it is fierce. But it is loving. And it used to rule this planet. The patriarchy, which we've all been co-opted to believe as the only reality of the human experience, because as of 4,000 years ago, that's simply when shit started getting written down so we could reflect back on it and learn it, quote unquote, as truth. But before the patriarchy, before the world of church and state and war and religion and territory and power and control manifested on this planet, and we're all playing out the symptoms of those drives and motivations. Before that, we lived in a different type of society that was driven by the feminine, where all things were honored, where we lived in harmony with the planet. And we lived in harmony with one another. And we as women have been so duped to think that this game we're playing that wasn't written for us or by us is how we need to play. We have been deeply etched into our DNA that we are inferior. That stems back to thousands and thousands of years within the last 4,000 of years. Think about your grandparents and their parents and their grandparents' parents and their grandparents' parents. That's a couple hundred, if not thousands of years of DNA reprinting itself into our bodies. And we have been programmed to believe that we have to fight to rise. We have to compete to rise. We have to work harder than anyone else to rise. That when we get to a certain point of success and power, that we are therefore more important. It is a lie, and it's killing us. And one of the first things that I want you to take away from this podcast, my book, working with me as a coach, which many of you are now, coming to my retreats, being in sacred space with other women, my retreats are honestly the best thing that I do, is simply to remember and reclaim your true feminine nature, which is innately powerful. And that money and status and hierarchy and points on the stock market and followers on Instagram and even money in the bank doesn't make you powerful at all. It doesn't make you worthy. And it certainly doesn't make you better than anyone else. Success, worthiness, superiority, those are the patriarchal paradigms and yardsticks that we're all measuring ourselves against, and we didn't even make it up. Somebody else did. And the work that I am inviting all of you into is to really dissolve those beliefs, to tap back into your feminine essence, to recall your codes of consciousness through reading my book, through sacred practice, healing your nervous system, nourishing your body, taking a walk in the middle of the day, being kind to other women, unhooking yourself from the working all the time, being observant of where you compete with men, with other women, with yourself, waking up to the true feeling in your body that is gentle, that is soft, that is rested, that is relaxed. That woman on that call, she was so wound up tight. There was a tightness in her face, in her voice, in her body, in her energy, that if she just simply unraveled it just a little bit, she would feel better. Probably wouldn't change her life. She's probably still doing exactly what she's doing. But for her own sake, for the well-being of this planet, because it does create a ripple effect when you don't take care of yourself. You treat people like shit. You stress about small things. You probably have dis-ease and dissonance and disagreements with the people you love and people you don't love, people you don't even know. And we're being asked to really look at that. At least I'm asking you to look at that. I have looked at that in myself for the last 2 years of my life, hard. And it has been painful. And it has been so worth it to unhook myself from that belief that success and power and worthiness was external. It healed my life, frankly, to let go of that. And I am in more alignment and more ease and more trust and more faith and more joy. And yes, more abundance than I've ever been in my life. I'm not saying every day is a cakewalk. I'm not saying I'm sitting over here in my flowy robes, just living my best feminine life, smelling flowers. Although you should smell some flowers. You should check out my incredible brand partner for this podcast, Lotus Way. They're a flower essences brand. They make essential oils, sprays, flower elixirs that actually, when you put them in your body and you spray them around your auric field and you rub the oils on your wrists and behind your ears, your frequency changes to the essence and the bioenergetic map of the flower. We are recalling our codes of feminine consciousness and activating that frequency when we use Lotus Way. Which is why when I met the founder and we had the opportunity to partner and for me to bring Lotus Way onto my show as one of my official partners, it was a full heart yes, because it's the same mission that I am trying to bring to my community that Lotus Way is doing with theirs, to heal bodies, to calm our nervous systems, to align to our natural feminine essence. So you can head to lotusway.com/thelightwork or use the code thelightwork at checkout to get 10% off of your order.
I'm telling you, they have shifted my vibration immensely in these last few months, and I was already on the path. So begin your path with a tool, a supportive tool. Hopefully this podcast is one of those supportive tools and you can go even deeper with Lotus Way.
And it's important to know that in this conversation today, unpacking this duping, that as we see it in other women, as we see it in ourselves, maybe we see it in our past selves, that we truly lay down the judgment, that we offer compassion, that we know that there's always something more to the story when a woman is coming from a place that is competitive, toxic, offensive. And that story isn't just about the fact that she didn't get a good night's sleep and she's probably underfed and hasn't been in nature in a minute and probably has a hugely demanding schedule between work and life and kids and meetings and deadlines and profitability goals. All of that's there. Hold compassion for that. But what we really need to hold compassion for is the deep, ancient DNA programming that she is operating from that has been rewritten, oppressed, repressed, and forgotten. And that is what we are reclaiming. And we can only do that if we choose to see the other woman as yourself.
Point one finger at someone, you have three pointing back at you. Try it right now.
And from that place, we can hold compassion. We can hold light. We can hold love. And from that vibration, that is how this all not only shifts, but it's how the collective returns to its original state. So hopefully this episode was helpful. Maybe you saw pieces of yourself in it. Maybe you saw pieces of other women that you know in it. And I hope that at the end of the day, it was an invitation to reclaim your feminine power and to live your cosmic truth. And when you do those two things, you can't but illuminate the world. You become a light worker. That's the whole title of my book, and that's the whole message of this show and the whole mission of at least my lifetime. And I know you're here because you are expressing that mission in your own unique way too. All right, my beautiful souls, I will see you on the next episode of the Spiritual Hustler Podcast.